Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's wonderful to join with all of you this morning in this resurrection celebration. And I must admit to some personal joy that we are past the days, although I do see at least two people who have the amazing grace to be able to wear hats. There used to be a day when I was a child that we all had to wear Easter hats and Easter frocks. And there's nothing I hate more than wearing a hat. So I'm relieved, but thank you for the two people who are wearing hats this morning. It makes my heart glad. This has been quite the week. It has been an experience of waving palms and praising to an intimate night of foot washing, the Last Supper, and the stripping of the church from all its beauty, to a trial and the brutal death on a cross, to waiting, to the first fire last night of Easter and the celebration this morning of the resurrection of Jesus with all the music and the candles and the joy and the color that our hearts and our lives can muster. Despite all the changes in our lives, in the life of our world, the same story is told every year. The same rituals are celebrated over and over again. And there's something deeply reassuring in this, something soothing and calming. And God knows we need soothing and calming in this world of ours. Mark's gospel, which is one of my favorites because it's so matter of fact, he helps soothe and calm and reassure us in our lives this Easter. He's pretty clear. He says, here's what's happening. The women are going to anoint Jesus's body, and they're walking along, and as women sometimes do, they're chatting. And they say to one another, gee, we didn't think about this, but who's going to roll away that big stone from the front of the tomb when we get there with our spices and our perfumes to anoint our friend's body? This is a problem. Oh, well. And like women often do, they keep going. And here, says Mark, is what God's doing. A young man is sent. Of course, we would call that an angel. But a young man is sent, and he's sitting there in white, and he matter-of-factly tells them that Jesus, yes, he died, and yes, he's been raised, and yes, he's not here. And then Mark goes on to matter-of-factly say, and here's what you need to do. You need to go. Don't stay here. Don't look for him here. Go and tell Peter and the disciples what has happened. And that you're going to see Jesus next in Galilee, where your lives go back to normal. When you go on with your life, there Jesus will be. The women obviously need to be reassured, but it doesn't quite work. They are terrified and amazed. Who wouldn't be in that situation? And, of course, they go, and we are left with the line that says they didn't tell anybody. Clearly, that's not true. Probably, like women sometimes do, they eventually had the nerve to say to somebody, by the way, guess what happened at the tomb yesterday? And here we are today, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So, like Mark this Easter, perhaps Mark is saying to us, relax. We've got this. We've got it. Women, you've got it. Go and tell the disciples. It's pretty straightforward. Go and meet Jesus. Go and live your lives in this resurrection. But all these centuries later, do we actually have this? Not really. The land of our faith, where it's held by all the major world religions, the land of the Holy One, is fought over. Children are dying, people are displaced, and war-torn strife continues in that place. Our church, the Anglican Church of Canada, has a legacy of abuse towards our Indigenous peoples and others. And we argue over the interpretation of Scripture, and factions break off over whom we will marry and whom we will ordain. And our dioceses and our parishes are only now beginning to address the reality of stewarding our resources more wisely, not just our buildings, but our people, our energy, our life. So perhaps in this Easter day, we need to be reminded whom we're actually following. Many of you might have read Michael Corrin's excellent article yesterday in the Globe and Mail, and it was entitled, Holier Than Thou, The Battle for Christianity in Canada. I'm going to quote a little bit from that article. He reminds us who we follow. Jesus himself said not a word about homosexuality or abortion, was far more concerned with justice and acceptance than with order and structure, warned the rich of the dangers of their wealth, praised and loved the poor and marginalized, and rejected the existing religious establishment. The Gospels sing rather than shout, and that song is of a shockingly different and liberated society, a world turned upside down from the one Jesus lived in, and that, in many ways, we live in still. This is the Jesus that we follow. So, back to Mark's sort of reassurance, do we actually have this? Well, as though I said no, not really, in some ways, yes, we do. And that is the grace of Easter. Because no matter what has gone before, no matter what has died, we have the opportunity for new life. And in that very holy land, the land of the Holy One, the Episcopal Diocese of Jerusalem has schools and hospitals and teaches and heals people of all faiths, Arabs, Jews, Muslims, Christians, it makes no difference. What a sign of hope and resurrection. In our Anglican Church of Canada, we are developing an Indigenous church. Not we, the people who look like me, but our Indigenous brothers and sisters are developing that. And we're having real conversations about inclusion on so many levels. And we're talking about what it means to be open and to be following Jesus instead of making simply rules. And in our diocese and in our parish, we have our community ministries. The Well here at St. John's, St. Luke's Table, the Ottawa Pastoral Counseling Center, Center 454, and Cornerstone, places where every day more people in our community are touched and healed and fed and listened to and cared for and loved than probably on any given Sunday in our whole diocese put together. And that is mindful, reminds us where we belong, where our message must be in our community, and how we must use our buildings and our energy and our people to truly be in our community. That is an Easter message. Michael Corrin also went on to say that the threat facing our church today is very much the threat of public irrelevance. So many Canadians have turned away from Christianity and yet are longing to turn toward it. If only we Christians will stop judging them and instead listen to their fears and their hopes and their longings for a better world. If Canadian churches want to fill the pews with people longing for a truly better world, if religious leaders want to become a force for change once again, the way forward is absurdly easy, says Corrin. Be Christian. Merely Christian. No more, no less. And by definition, we will be revolutionary in the truest, most pristine sense. Because we will be like that one that we follow, who doesn't say a word about certain hot issues, but who is there with the people, who is sent and says to his disciples, I will meet you in Galilee. I will meet you where you are. I will meet you in your life, right here and right now. There's a bishop called Callistus Ware, and he was an English convert to Eastern Orthodoxy, and he lectured at Oxford for many, many years. He said, it's not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question, but to make us progressively aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as the cause of our wonder. Our world needs wonder. And I'm delighted that all of us are here today to stand in that wonder, to sing in that wonder. And it doesn't really matter if we don't understand it all. In fact, isn't that wonderful that we don't? But we gather here, and may we be as matter of fact as Mark about the story of Jesus. May we truly understand that we are Jesus' feet and hands and eyes and ears and heart in our community, meeting people where they are. May we live as though we have died to the old ways that don't work anymore, and that we've been resurrected with new hope and new life and new vitality. May we be who we are called to be, people with Easter hearts, open and present, and there where people gather, witnessing to God's amazing love and acceptance that knows no bounds at all. Alleluia.